Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Reading from Acts 27, verse 11. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. That was Acts 27, verse 11. And you might wonder, how does that fit in with their Thanksgiving theme? Well, it's part of the passage. We're going to be looking at Acts 27 today on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you got to enjoy some time with family and friends. And certainly we all can be thankful for various things because we serve this great God that loves us, that cares for us, that's provided for us. And many of you have family or friends, or you work, you're in a home. There's so many things to be thankful for. And I'm thankful for this group of friends that are gathering to be a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends, along with Pastor Jason Schiffo, who will facilitate our discussion on thankfulness. And I hope you're thankful. And it's Friday, November 24th. Wow. I wrote down originally, Alaric caught me on it. I put December 24th. So I think we're already moving along fast enough. But, you know, Christmas is now around the corner. Christmas decorations are up.
24th of December. We're not ready.
Yeah. And we started Christmas music. So all day and all weekend, you're going to hear a lot of selections of Christmas music, God-honoring Christmas music that we hope will enhance this Advent season and really bless you as you think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who came to the world to be our redemptive means of getting to know God the Father. He suffered on the cross. I mean, we have that Easter message, but it begins because he was born as a human, even though he's fully God. And so hopefully during the season, our radio frequencies will bless you and encourage you in your faith journey. So I know I picked out a verse out of this Acts chapter 27, and I'm sure we're going to learn how Paul and others were thankful, but I just thought it was an interesting one. But the centurion, instead of listening to Paul, how many times do we need to listen to people, listen to our spouse, listen to somebody that has some important information, but they chose to follow the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. So right our ship, Jason. We want to be thankful, right?
That's interesting that you would say right our ship, because one of the things that I've been thinking about this week is how difficult situations, and when we come into something that's difficult, we're never very happy about it, are we? Yeah, we're never really happy about it. But how oftentimes difficult situations, at least ones that I've gone through and from my perspective, actually reposition me to get me to the right place. That sometimes maybe I'm headed in a direction that not necessarily I shouldn't go, but it's not the direction God wants me to go. And the difficulties that come in my life are actually moving me in the direction that God would like me to go into. Now, some of us think that when we say that, we're talking about like the next thing in our life or that. But sometimes maybe those difficulties are just to reposition our heart back to give thanks to God, to give God thanks. Because sometimes and oftentimes I think it's very easy to take our Father in heaven for granted. In fact, the Bible is filled over and over. It's replete with stories about people who take their relationship with God for granted. And then all of a sudden, God brings some difficulty into their life. God allows difficulty to come into their life. And then that repositions them to be able to see him more clearly and to give him thanksgiving. And so today we're looking at Acts chapter 27, which is this journey that Paul is on. Paul, if we know the story, he's been in prison for 2 years in Caesarea Maritima, which is in Israel, right by the coast on the Mediterranean Sea. In fact, on trips to Israel, it's always a stop that we make sure that we're at. It's one of the big highlights to go there and see where Paul was kept there. There's a huge Colosseum and a giant horse racing track. It's pretty magnificent.
And then there's aqueduct.
Yeah, the aqueduct and just the beauty of the Mediterranean Sea right there. But this is where Paul was held for 2 years. And Paul petitioned Caesar to be taken to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. And this is Paul's right because he is a Roman citizen. And so Acts 27 is Paul's journey there, which isn't a straight line. By the way, is anybody in here have a straight line journey? How many of us have planned our journey to be a straight line and it never is? True. You know, I even just say that when we take a road trip as a family. Because me, I plan it, I map it out, and I say we're going from here to here. And from here to here, we have to stop four times to go to the bathroom, get off the highway. We have to stop and get something to eat. And nobody ever in my family wants to eat at the place that's right off the highway. So we have to go somewhere like way off the beaten path. And so that straight line journey that I put on the map usually looks like straight, a big zig, a zag, another zig, straight, zig, zag, all the way up there. So very rarely are our journeys straight lines. But this is what I would say, is that at the end of those journeys, you always look back and go, that was good. That was good. And sometimes the best parts are those little things that happened along the way that you didn't plan for. And so the Bible says, it gives us this journey, and it says, when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, sail for Rome, they delivered Paul and some of the prisoners to a centurion of the Augustinian cohort named Julius. And so Paul is a prisoner, so Paul is going to go under guard to Italy, to Rome, to stand trial before Caesar. And really, I'm going to move quickly through this to get to the other parts, because we're always short on time and I'm always long on words. And so it says here, and embarking in a ship, which was about to sail for the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea accompanied by Aristarchus the Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put into Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends to be cared for. So along the way, this person who was in charge of Paul is actually allowing Paul to go and see some of the disciples, some of the people from the churches that he had planted along the way. This is actually a grace of God, isn't it? That God would put this centurion in his life to guard over him, but who would also have the grace to allow Paul to make some of these much needed connections along the way. This is what I would say, is that even though we're headed in this straight line to go here, God's grace is still at work along the way. The mission is still being accomplished all along the way. Even though Paul's under lock and key and he's headed to go stand before Caesar, he's still doing the work of caring for the churches that God has given him, isn't he? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So sometimes the difficulty that we're in, God is still at work in it. How many times have we been through difficulty and we've thought, God, where are you?
Many times.
Yeah. And God goes, right here, Elmer. Right here, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Again, remember how I said we can sometimes lose sight of God? I know I've been in places where I go, Lord, are you even here? And he's like, just read my word. There's a lot of stuff in there that tells you that I'm still here. And so God doesn't leave us. God doesn't forsake us. God's mission continues even though difficulty may persist. And so it says that Paul keeps sailing. He goes here and he goes there and he goes here. And it says, coasting along it, and this is the weather begins to play a part in this, under the lee of Creta off Salmone, coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, which was near the city of Lycia. Since much time had passed, the voyage was now dangerous because the fast was already over. When it says the fast is already over, that means the fasting time for the Jews, which is sometime around October. And so it's well known that from October to November in the Mediterranean Sea, it's not a good time to travel. The winds tend to be high, the sea tends to be rough. It tends to be a more dangerous time to travel. So Paul, being a Jew and also being somebody who had traveled often, Paul had been to all these different churches. Paul had been on the water. We know from other parts of the Bible that he's been shipwrecked 3 times. So Paul knows when it's a good time to travel, when it's not a good time to travel. But what was Paul's trade?
Tent maker.
Yep. So when the tent maker goes to talk to the sailor, who do you think wins the battle on when we're going to sail?
The sailor.
Right. And that's exactly what happens in the Bible here. Paul advised him, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only to cargo and ship, but also our lives." Paul says, listen, it's not really a good time to sail. I've been on the water at this time. It's dangerous. I've heard stories. Maybe we shouldn't do this. And it says, but the centurion paid more attention to the pilot, or the chief navigator, the sailor, the guy in charge, the captain of the ship, and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. Because he's like, you're just a tent maker. Like, tell me how to make a tent, but not how to sail the ship. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there. And so since they couldn't stay in there, they needed to go find a harbor that would be suitable that they could be during these months. And this was not the place. So even though Paul warns and says, listen, it's not a good time to be out on the water, they have no choice. They have no choice. Mm-hmm. Now, part of it, though, is a human choice here, right? Because the sailor chooses to do what?
To go on.
Yeah. He chooses to go on, even though Paul has said, wait, I really feel like this is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this question, knowing just Paul in general. Does Paul operate on feelings alone, or does Paul operate on something more?
On the Lord. He operates on the Lord.
Yeah. Paul, I think, really is saying here, he's saying, listen, we're headed the wrong direction. It's not good to go this way. It won't end well. What a grace. Mm-hmm. How many times have we been through things in our life and maybe we wished somebody was there to say, don't go that way. It doesn't end well. Mm-hmm. Or how many times have we had that person in our life and we didn't listen? We were like the pilot who's like, listen, I know what I'm doing. You don't understand. I'm just going to keep going this way. And they're like, it doesn't end well. It doesn't go well. Don't do it. But they do.
It's interesting here in verse 12, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, so there was some logic to their decision, but then it says, the majority decided that we should sail on. So mm-hmm. the pilot and the owner of the ship probably said, hey, if we don't get that cargo to such and such at such and such a time, it's going to cost everyone or whatever. But usually when the majority decides on something, that's usually not God's way.
Yeah. And then verse 13, I think, is very interesting in light of that, because they said, no, we're going to go. And it says in verse 13, now when the south wind blew gently. Do you think at that moment when the wind's blowing gently, they're like, Paul, we don't even know what you were talking about. Everything looks amazing. I'm glad we didn't listen to you, Paul.
Yeah, ready to go.
Supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon, a tempestuous wind. And so I wrote in my notes here, now when the south wind blew gently, and I put in parentheses, looks good. And then I said, but soon a tempestuous wind. And then I wrote in parentheses, never mind.
And my version says, of hurricane force.
Yep. It's actually called a nor'easter. And what it is it's a result of a northern wind and an eastern wind blowing at the same time. And what they do is they collide. And it creates this moment where it creates this huge waves, storm. These two storm fronts kind of come together. And so it is bad news. That's my nautical expertise. Bad news. And the ship was caught and could not face the wind and gave way to it and was driven along, running under the lee of a small island near Cuda, where we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. So this is just what happens. Things go badly quickly, just like Paul said would happen. And so when you head the wrong direction, things at first might seem like they're going to be okay, but generally they begin to go badly. And that usually is quickly. At least that's been my experience. And then it says this in verse 20, neither the sun nor the stars appeared. Why would that be important if you're a sailor?
Well, it uses stars in the direction.
That's right. Direction. That's right. So listen, I'm pulling this from the actual text so that maybe it can be applied for us. But when you head the wrong direction, it may seem like at first things are going okay, but then things start to go really poorly and you become pretty disorientated.
Absolutely.
You don't know which way is up. You know how people talk about that? They say things like, I don't know how I got in this mess. I don't even know where I'm at. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't even know what I'm doing. You're right. You don't know how to navigate this because you don't know where you are. They're very similar to what's happening here. Neither the sun nor the stars appeared. They couldn't navigate for many days. And this no small tempest laid upon us. And then it says this, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. So imagine you decide to go, even though somebody says, don't go that way. It's not going to end well. You say, no, I'm going to go that way. I want to go that way. And it seems good at first. And then it starts to go poorly pretty quickly. And you don't know where you're at. You can't figure out how you got yourself into this or how you can get yourself out of this. And then what happens? I've been around a lot of people, even myself at times, where you begin to abandon hope. Well, suddenly this story, thousands of years old on a ship in the Mediterranean, sounds a lot like our lives today in 2023.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Who says the Bible's just an old story? Since they had been without food for a long time. Now, this is physical, and this is probably because in the middle of the storm, the food was being ruined. It was probably waterlogged. It was wet. Who knows? But the food quality was not good to be able to eat, so they had not had the level of food that they had normally enjoyed, the level of sustenance or provision that they normally had. And Paul stood up amongst them, and he says this, this I like about Paul, because Paul always has a little bit of the old man left in him, right? You know what I mean? Even though Jesus has saved Paul, he's leading him, he's guiding him, the Holy Spirit's there. Paul still has a little bit of Paul left in him, which is good news for all of us, because that means Paul was in process just like us. Paul stands up and he goes, men, should have listened to me. Listen, we actually would think that this is Paul being a little, maybe a little snarky, a little, you know, a little sarcastic. That same people in my life who said, I wouldn't go that direction. It doesn't end well. At some point, I meet up with them again and they go, didn't I tell you about this? Didn't we talk about this? That's what Paul's really saying. Paul's saying, you heard the voice of wisdom before. You need to remember what it sounds like because you weren't paying attention. Men, you should have listened to me. And then he says, listen, we're going the wrong direction. And then Paul lets them in on his prayer life, right? Because Paul says, yet I urge you to take heart, to have heart. Because why? Because what we said in verse 20, that their hope of being saved was abandoned. They had lost hope. Yeah. Paul says, no, take heart, have hope. There will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you and all those who sail with you. And then Paul says, so take heart, men, for I have faith in God, and it will be exactly as it has been told. Paul says this, listen, you're losing hope. I want you to know something. The God whom I belong to and whom I worship. So this is two things that Paul says I think is very important. See, it's not enough just to say that you're a Christian. You need to act like you're a Christian. You need to actually act like you believe what God says is right and true. And that is that comes out in worship. Worship is not Sunday morning where we raise our hands and we sing. Worship is our whole life directed towards God. All that we do in his name. You can worship when you wash the dishes. That's when you're washing the dishes and you're like, our God is an awesome God. Rather than going, I got to wash all these dishes. I hate dishes. You know, anything that you do can be worship when you do it in the name of the Lord and with the joy of the Lord and allowing him to be your strength and him to guide you and lead you. Worship is not just Sunday morning. So Paul says, listen, the God whom I say I follow and you see proof of it, he said it's going to be okay. Hmm. Now he says the ship here, we're going to lose that. But you all, we're going to make it out of here. Now, that's a pretty big faith ask, isn't it? Because they had lost hope. Things were not going well. And so in this moment, they're probably like, what? They're probably also thinking, like, how do we lose the ship and not any of us? Yep. But Paul says, listen, it all hedges on God. And I believe that God is good and he has a plan for us. He told me I have to stand before Caesar. So you're with me and I'm going to Caesar. So we're all going to make it. He said, but we must run aground on some island. He doesn't know what island because God didn't tell him that part. But he knows they must run aground on some island. And then we have what I always love. Paul pronounces his prayer. He pronounces his hope. And then it says in verse 27, when the 14th night had come, because it didn't just miraculously happen, did it?
No.
There was 14 days for them to go, Paul, I thought you said we were going to be okay. Paul, I thought you said everything was going to be okay. Paul, it's still not okay. Yeah. Listen, walking by faith sometimes involves taking small, steady, slow steps and even sometimes stubbing your toe a few times. You know, the frustration of, God, why not yet? Why not yet? And so then it says that they suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding, which means they stuck a big stick down into the water. And they said they found 20 fathoms. And then they stuck it again and they found 15 fathoms. Now, are they walking by faith or by sight here? By sight, not by faith. And then it says that the sailors looked to escape the ship. And this is this moment, Paul basically says to them this. He says, listen, you have to go with me. Because I'm the one that God said is going to go before Caesar. If you go your own way, you might not make it. Mm. And it's in this moment the sailors actually do something that's incredibly brave and courageous in terms of faith. They cut away the lifeboat and let it go away because they're going to stay on the boat with Paul. Mm. And it's in that moment, what does Paul do? Paul takes some bread. And it says here, he took the bread and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Paul has been in the middle of the storm. He's in the middle of these people who have been antagonistic and frustrating and have been at times very difficult to navigate this journey with. They've lost hope. They've abandoned hope. They've gone their own way. And now it's 14 days since Paul prayed. And on this 14th day, which I got to think things are pretty tense. And these guys are trying to get off the ship. Paul breaks the bread and gives thanks. The difficulty that Paul is facing here has repositioned him in the right direction. And that direction is to give thanks to God. I wonder if we were in a similar situation where it seems like all is lost and everything is falling apart, if we could still take the bread and the cup and we could break that bread and give thanks to the Lord. By the way, the word for giving thanks here is the exact same words that are used when Jesus breaks the bread at the feeding of the 5,000 and give thanks to the Lord. So the commentators say that what Paul, the way Paul is giving thanks is because he believes in a miraculous provision here. He believes that God is going to do something miraculous. He doesn't know how it's going to work out. He has no idea. And he also knows it's going to be difficult because, listen, a shipwreck, even if you survive, is not going to be much fun, is it? No. But I think Paul believes this. Paul believes a shipwreck with the Lord is better than no shipwreck without the Lord.
Amen.
And in that instance, he decides to give the Lord thanks. And he does it amongst these men. And then the Bible says this. They were all encouraged, and they ate some themselves. They ate some themselves. And this is a moment, I think, where they begin to trust in what God's going to do here. They're all together, and they're doing that. And so I would just say this, that whatever difficulty maybe you're going through, maybe it's God repositioning you so that you can give thanks. God repositioning you so that you can see him more clearly and realize that while what you're going through might not be great, the one whom you keep your eyes upon is great, and only he will be able to guide you through it. Maybe a shipwreck, but listen, I'd rather get wet with the Lord than not.
And I'm going to close out with verse 25 of Acts chapter 27. So keep up your courage. This is for you, dear listener. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. May you be blessed this Thanksgiving weekend. May you be drawn closer to the Lord. And may you be his witness, faithfully dividing God's word and teaching and encouraging and blessing those around you. You are a disciple of Jesus, so walk in that power, in that authority. Be God's ambassador. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.